Self-help is, of course, one of the more popular topics in television, also in print. Today we bring you a man with his own unique vision, Dr. Nathaniel Williams. Very happy to have him with us this morning to talk all about it. Nat, good morning.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the beginning for you. You lost your mother at a very early age. Talk a little bit about the impact that event had on your life.
Sure. It really was a profound and defining moment, and I believe in our lives, everybody has moments like that. It's just so important how you get up after moments like that happen. And as you said, I was 5 years old and was one of, and still am, one of 12 children. And 10 of us had to go into the foster care system because the other two were older and already on their own. And that moment, that day, and that period of time really had a great impact on my life. And so... That is as a goal that I've set for myself, even though I can't have my mother with me today, my goal is always to be to pretend that she's still with me and to lead my life hoping that I can take her some places that she dreamt that I would already be going to, but also some places that would surprise her. So it was a real challenge, but I've tried to turn it into some motivation.
Well, let's talk about that and how that experience and how you were able to sort of rise above the situation that you were placed into after that has helped shape the work you do as an adult.
And Chris, I don't think I'm alone. I think when people become aware of what I call their challenging life event, I think they realize that so much is done in testimony to that challenging life event. So I think that you said, you know, the jobs that you have sometimes are a result of that, the things you like, you don't like. And we need to just be mindful of that. And a lot of the work that I do nowadays is really trying to help people become aware of that. And I think that you also said something that triggered a thought in my mind. It's about the word resilience. I think people think about that as something you do when there's something bad happens. But I think it's so important to understand resilience is something you do when something good happens too. And what I define it as is getting up, and you should get up differently, even because you had a challenge or because you had a success. That no matter what the situation is, you should be more informed, and that's what resilience is getting up differently based on having the experience that you have. And again, I think everyone has those good and challenging things that happen in their life, but I think what's so important is how you stand up differently having had those experiences.
Obviously, there are a lot of people out there right now with their lives in chaos.
Sure.
The economy has slammed so many people so hard. What are the first things you feel they should try and do to get themselves righted?
I think it's so important is just to recognize it's a cycle, and that's what life is. And there are going to be good times and bad times. And the question is, am I prepared for just the bad times, or am I prepared just for the good times? And really start doing an inventory of themselves, because I think that's the challenge. I think we're all looking for that gravy train just to never run out of the gravy. And reality is, it's going to have to run out so that they can, you know, find some time to make some more. So I think it's so important. One of the things that we do is to take some time to figure out who we are. And I had a professor in a graduate program that I went to, and she had, you know, used terrible grammar, but I understood it, and I'll probably be 89 in a rocking chair still repeating this. And she said, "You need to know who you be." And I think it's so important that we take some time to know who we be and what we want and where we've been and where we're going, because I think that's so very important, especially in the world that we're living in today.
Well, you talk about the world we're living in today. It's an extraordinarily cynical place.
Sure.
So where do we go to find these positive things we need to succeed?
I mean, I think they're out there, and I think we have to seek them. It's like, you know, you buy that car, and all along you just thought no one had that same car until you get into the car and you start driving, you realize, boy, there's a lot of other people that have the same car that I do. So I think once we open our eyes, and we would be really surprised to see what's out there once we open our eyes, and it's that awareness and that rejuvenation and that awareness that we have to have. And I think once we possess it, you'd be so surprised about how things start falling into place slowly but surely.
Your latest book is called The Affordability Factor, and it talks about the four C's of change.
Sure.
What exactly are the four C's?
Sure.
Of change?
Well, one of the things that I point out is the four C's of oppression. Then I'll talk very quickly about those, and then I'll talk about the four C's of change. The four C's of oppression are conflicts and controversies and control issues and comparisons. And it's very hard to not go a couple of seconds in a day to realize how these things are used as ways to hold us back. But also they're used as ways to get us to purchase things and to do transactions with each other. So we have to be aware that those things are at play and make it a commitment for ourselves not to live life anymore. I'm not going to compare myself to another person. I'm not going to get involved with controversies and gossip, and I'm not going to get into control issues and try to have a power over other people. So we have to just recognize that those are the things that just make life miserable, and there's no winning in that arrangement. But the four C's of change are different. The four C's of change recognize there's a sequence we have to follow. We first have a concept, and that's the first C. The second is we have to be able to communicate it, and that can be through, you know, writing or verbal, but we just have a way of sharing with others. That's the second C. The third C is collaboration. Now that we conceived it, we can communicate it, now we can collaborate with others on it. And last but not least, the four C's, the last fourth C of change is consequences, basically recognizing that because we've put all those other things in line, now we can start talking about the things that we'd like to achieve in our lives by operationalizing the concepts, the communications, and the collaborations. So that's how we begin to change. With the oppression, you could use any of those four things at any given time to make an entry. But reality is everything started with a concept. Everything started with a thought. Again, we communicate it, we collaborate, and then we have the consequences. So there's a methodology to making change where there isn't a methodology to oppression of ourselves and others.
How can you, with your message, ensure that your voice doesn't get lost in the cacophony of self-help messages out there?
Well, one of the things that I'm trying to do is to take the time to make it succinct. The books that I've written, and we're now up to number 7 in that series, they're very short. They're to the point. And, you know, people have said that I read it and I get it, and it's inside of me, and I don't need to see it again. And I said, I love when people say to me that they've given the book to somebody else. You know, someone that would say to me, I have your book on my shelf or my library, makes me disappointed because I think it should have a life on its own and should start traveling to some other places and not just sit with people. So, again, I think the challenge is placed on me as an author to try to make sure it's given in a way that people live nowadays, and people just don't have a lot of time. So turning them into audio and video are things we're working on. But the first thing is to try to keep it short and sweet because people just don't have a lot of time, and the things that they can remember and that can really become part of them, I think, so important. If you have to go back to refer to it, most likely it isn't something you're going to do.
Another important project in your life is something called Human Works.
Sure.
Talk a little bit about how the Human Works Affiliates works, what it does, and,
sure,
and how it helps you towards your goals.
Sure. It's a group of nonprofits that are working together to improve human services. So we have about 200 employees, and we provide children's services as well as services for adults with intellectual and cognitive disabilities as well as autism. Human services was a major part of my life as a youngster. I spent 13 years in the foster care system, and one day I was sitting on the administration steps, and the Catholic nun who ran the agency came down, and her name was Sister Mary Patrick, and she tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Why are you so sad?" And I explained to her that I had a visit with my siblings that didn't happen because of a scheduling glitch at the last minute. And she said, "Sit there for a minute. I have something for you." And so she went downstairs to the storeroom and came up, as you know, difficult as it was for her, carrying a bicycle, and gave me that bicycle. And I was really, really happy. But something struck me at that moment, and again, I was only like 11 or 12, and said to me that if I wasn't careful, that was going to be the rest of my life, you know, telling sad stories and looking for people's pity. And that from that point forth, I started signing my name, Nathaniel J. Williams, Executive Director, which is the top position in a nonprofit, akin to being a president or a CEO in a for-profit. And I started signing my name like that at 11, 12 years old. And by the time that I was 25, that was my official title. So for me, it was so important to figure out a way to overcome that situation and to turn it around. And I think everyone is poised to have to figure out a way to do that in their lives, is to turn around the situation and make it better. And I just think in our generation that if we're not careful, we have the the ability to regress this generation and the next generation, and make it worse than we inherited. And I don't think that was the way it was supposed to be. We have so much at our disposal that can really make it better. But I think because it's coming to us so very fast, I don't think we're using it in the way that it was meant to be, in a way that can help us. And so HumanWorks is trying to help people look at their situations and figure out a way to make it better, and we work on that every day. And I'm so glad that we have 200 other people along with me part of that journey to try to make it happen for the people we support and serve.
The book is The Affordability Factor, The Four C's of Change, releasing yourself of that challenging life event, living in the fullness of faith and fortitude. The author is Nathaniel Williams. You can go to nj-williams.com for more information on everything we've talked about today. Nat, I want to thank you so much for giving me the time.
Chris, it was my honor. Thank you so much for all you do.